1938.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we tee it up with our pals from Talk Radio News, as I'm fond of saying, no better insiders in the Beltway and beyond. Jeff Holtzman joins us now. Hey, Jeff, before we dive into politics, looks like your Washington Redskins have a new coach.
Yeah, looks like they hired Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator of the Bengals. And I think I speak for a lot of Redskins fans when I say I couldn't be less excited about that. Not necessarily a knock on Jay Gruden, but I think at this point we've learned as Redskins fans over the years that it really doesn't matter who the coach is. As long as Dan Snyder owns the team, there's going to be drama, there's going to be mishaps, and the team is just never going to win the Super Bowl under his watch.
Well, you know, that sounds like somebody else. That sounds like Jerry Jones from the Cowboys.
At least he got a couple, though. I mean, he got a couple in the 90s. I know they've had a terrible playoff record since then and inability to close out big games at the end of the season. And he's probably put a little too much faith in Tony Romo. But I think Snyder he got off on the wrong footing, and he seemingly has never learned from his mistakes. He's put himself above the team time and time again. And I think this hire, Jay Gruden seems like an interesting guy. He seems qualified to become a head coach, and that's great, but I think he's just going to get chewed up and spit out by the system. And another thing about Jay Gruden is, when he was with Cincinnati, remember, they lost at home to the Chargers in a playoff game they should have won. A bunch of Chargers players after the game said that Cincinnati did not throw anything at them offensively that they weren't expecting. So, to me, that tells me that a guy like Jay Gruden, I mean, he's a decent enough coordinator, but he's not inventive enough and creative enough to really make it far in the playoffs. So, a couple red flags on my radar.
That's what I would say, too. Hey, I don't blame the guy for snagging a top spot, but you'd have to question yourself with that whole Snyder regime and whatnot. Speaking of regimes, Chris Christie and the George Washington Bridge lane closures, big scandal. He obviously held just now a press conference here on Thursday, and you can tell he's embarrassed by this whole thing, and somebody gets the axe after this whole bridge scandal.
Yeah, he fired his deputy chief of staff, who apparently was the one that Christie said, led the charge to conspire with the Port Authority and close down those lanes on I-95 heading into the George Washington Bridge. Bridget Kelly is the name of the deputy chief of staff that Chris Christie fired. And Chris Christie, he put out a statement yesterday saying that he didn't know anything about this scandal, and that his staff misled him. A lot of people sort of rolled their eyes. Today at his press conference, I mean, he sounded very sincere. He essentially said that, said in long form what he said in his statement yesterday, which is that he did not have any involvement in this. He did not order these lane closures as sort of any political retribution or payback to the mayor of Fort Lee, who's a Democrat. Christie said that he didn't even ask for that mayor's endorsement, which if you read the emails that have been subpoenaed, the emails between Bridget Kelly and, the officials of the Port Authority and others, they seem to insinuate that mayor of Fort Lee, the Democrat, was asked to endorse Chris Christie and declined. Mm-hmm. Chris Christie, however, said that's not the case. He didn't ask for that endorsement.
Yeah, I don't know. There might be more to this. Do you think, obviously Chris Christie, he has other political aspirations no matter what he's saying. I have some pretty good inside baseball knowledge on this for people around Chris Christie, and he's constantly talking about the presidential thing. He's eating it up. There's no doubt about it. And you got to think that the Republicans are sitting back and watching this with what's at play and what could come into play in 2016. Do you think this costs him a chance at snagging the nomination?
There's some people who do. I don't think it costs him a chance at snagging the nomination. It might cost him the general election, maybe, but we'll see. We'll see how long, the story stays out there in the spotlight. I've heard from conservatives who there are a lot of conservatives who are skeptical about Chris Christie. You don't consider him to be one of their own. But I've heard from some conservatives who say that this does not do him in necessarily, that all he has to do is come out and put the story behind him and look strong. And I think that his press conference today was maybe a solid first step. He took questions. He accepted responsibility. He pointed out that he's taken action in terms of firing, one official in the last 24 hours or so. So far he's handling it about as well as he can from a PR standpoint. But the problem with this story is that it's not going away because there are still going to be probes into the matter. Christie said at his press conference today he's not really inclined to cooperate with any of these investigations. But believe me, investigations will take place. we might not have gotten to the bottom of this. I mean, there's still a chance that Chris Christie was involved, despite what he says. You just have to be, you have to maintain a healthy skepticism all the time when it comes to politics.
Yeah. Nope. I love that. That's spoken like someone who now is a veteran of the game because you're in it day in and day out. Are people on the Hill talking about it at all?
People on the Hill are talking about it. It actually came up at John Boehner's weekly press conference today. Boehner didn't have much to say. He obviously doesn't want to interject himself in a story involving Chris Christie, who may or may not run for president and who's outside Washington. But that gives you a sign of how interested people are in D.C. about this story. I mean, it's pretty much the biggest story out there right now because Christie, you know, is widely considered to be a presidential candidate in 2016. And if you look at the polls, which Christie dismissed today, he said polls don't matter, especially polls taken 3 years before an election. But if you look at them, Christie stacks up pretty favorably compared to the rest of the GOP field. I mean, it's pretty much him versus Hillary Clinton, according to the polls. So that's why people are so fascinated by the story. I think if it was a governor in, you know, some rural state that wasn't running for president or didn't have his eye on the presidency, at least, it wouldn't be as big of a story. But the fact that Christie is considered a candidate, the fact that it's in New York City, which is the media capital of the world, I mean, that's why the story is so huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one last thing, because we talk so much about Ed Snowden. Did you see this thing that this panel, the DOD report finding that Snowden had leaks, the leaks from Snowden have helped terrorists, and the panel that's been looking into that, the House Intelligence Chairman Mike Rogers and some others say that the Pentagon report clearly found a significant portion of the documents, which there's crazy amount of documents, as you know, it's like 1.7 million, that the ones that he took were related to current U.S. military operations. So is this just another shoe to drop in a string of all that has happened with the NSA with Snowden?
Yeah, this is pretty significant, Kate. I saw a little bit of this. And NPR has a lot of information on this, but a former NSA general counsel said that Snowden advertised his theft of government secrets as an act of civil disobedience, and therefore he should take responsibility. The official, his name is Stuart Baker. He's also a former assistant secretary of Homeland Security under George W. Bush. He said that Snowden did the crime, and he should therefore do the time. And so this will obviously lend credence to a lot of folks who believe that Snowden is a traitor and should be brought home and tried.
Yeah. All right, Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much. Always great tossing it around with you. We appreciate it.
All right, Kate, take care.
Of course, we're going to talk more about Chris Christie and this situation with the bridge, all the different aspects of it. I mean, it is dominating the news. And Chris Christie does a presser today, 2 hours, apologizes, fires, as you heard, Bridget Kelly. And will this be enough ultimately? It's what we talked about the other day. Is Chris Christie really the Republican nominee? Is that who you want to see representing the GOP? Or if you're a Democrat and you're listening, are you just loving this? Are you thinking, yeah, another one bites the dust, and yeah, push him, push him, push him, and let's see where it all goes. Don't forget, if you stick around for our third hour in our last two segments, Nail the Score, your chance to be a winner here on America Tonight. Don't worry, the band will calm down. Just excited, excited. We have a lot of good things, a lot of good things to get to. Coming up around the bend, you'll hear what Chris Christie had to say next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
A person close to me betrayed me. A person who I counted on and trusted for 5 years betrayed me. A person who I gave a high government office to betrayed me. I probably will get angry at some point, but I got to tell you the truth. I'm sad. I'm a sad guy standing here today. I have come out here to this office where I've been many times before, and I come out here today to apologize to the people of New Jersey. I apologize to the people of Fort Lee, and I apologize to the members of the state legislature.
All right, but will it be enough? I've never heard Chris Christie that contrite. He was really shook up from what I understand. The U.S. attorney in New Jersey is opening this baby up, claiming that there is more than Bridget Kelly perhaps involved in this. Not saying it was Chris Christie. They're not stupid enough to just throw that out there. They've got to have evidence. And this is all about settling a political score because the mayor of Fort Lee would not endorse Christie. So what a crazy scenario that could actually take down his presidential ambitions, and perhaps he could be pulled out of the governor's mansion in New Jersey. But before we convict him, he is saying that he didn't know about it. Do you believe he didn't know about it? He says he's not a control freak. He didn't know about it. He's not a bully. It's been, see, he sees what happens when things spin around in the other direction. He's not used to not getting the love. And if he didn't get the love, he knew how to push it away with his snappy comments. But in this case, he's in the thick of a controversy. He's right in the middle of it. So is he sinking in the quicksand, or will he pull himself out of it? That's the question. And do you care? Do you care about that? I think the NSA story is an even bigger story. So we're gonna talk about that too as well. You can throw in your two cents here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, at the helm. 855-266-5283. Does this tank Chris Christie, and will he be out of the governor's mansion? Who do you think really now should step to the forefront and be the Republican nominee? We're in 2014, folks. Hillary Clinton is, I think, running flat out. She's going to run for it. Does she get it? I don't know, because what other Democrats come out? But she's got a whole big war chest and a lot of people behind her. I think Clinton absolutely wants to get the brass ring, the White House. She wants to go back to the White House again. And who's going to be the Republican that runs against her? A lot of interesting scenarios. This next time around is going to be an exciting presidential race, I think. And then we have the midterms, too, as well, that we'll start handicapping and we'll start having some of the people on. Some of the senators and some of the congresspeople are agreeing to come on. So in the upcoming weeks, we'll talk to some of the people in Washington, some that you might like and some you might say, you gotta be kidding. We have a few friends on the Hill that I think are really trying to make some noise. One of them is Michael Grimm, Congressman Michael Grimm. He'd be fun. We'll have him back on. I've talked to his people the other day and he's always got a couple of thoughts on everything from terrorism to immigration and whatnot in between. He represents a tough district in New York, without a doubt. All right, let's go to Tomas. Tomas is listening in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Tomas, how are you?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right, you get a special edition preview, sneak preview, under the covers, behind the scene preview of the movie Lone Survivor. I just saw it. They had like a little showing here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and definitely a serious look into war, into honor, into courage, into rules of engagement, into making tough decisions, into dealing with tough situations.
The Lone Survivor movie, I heard was incredible, and I'm not trying to step on your review, but Mark Wahlberg was the star of it, right? It's that story of the four Navy SEALs that were on that covert mission to, you know, tackle a Taliban operative who then they were ambushed by a Taliban that surrounded them. And I don't want to give the whole thing away, but it's an incredible true story that happened. And as you said to me, and you saw it, so did they really illustrate what it was like, that survival and that heroism that was needed for one guy to get out of this?
Well, what I heard was Marcus Luttrell, which is a name. You can look him up on Facebook or whatever. I read the book, and I heard that Marcus Luttrell told the people who were making the movie, straight up, if they messed the movie up, he would kill them. And I tell you what, my wife and I was watching, and my wife's an Army veteran, too. And I tell you what, she was cuddled up next to me the whole movie, just squeezing my arm. And actually, tears were coming out of her eyes.
Oh.
And, it's not all a rah-rah USA. I mean, you know, a lot of Americans get killed in that movie. And it shows, there's going to be a lot of veterans, you know, they're going to be drinking some serious brew after that movie, talking about, you know, hey, man, what about this? But it was as realistic as it could be, because Marcus Luttrell lost his three best friends in there. Plus, he lost many more because the helicopter that went to rescue them was also shot down with no survivors. So, there were probably close to 20 Americans who lost their lives. It's just awesome. I tell you what, everybody in the theater was applauding after the movie finished.
Wow. Really? I can't wait to see it. Good for you that you got the sneak peek, and it's an incredible story. I think when the story first, you know this, Tomas, you read the book, when the story first broke, like 60 Minutes did an interview with Marcus Luttrell. It was an incredible interview, and it is an amazing story. Thank goodness he survived, but how horrible to carry that around. It was really rough for him when he came back to the States.
Right. Well, I heard he's from Texas, too. And now he's married, and
yep.
He actually—it shows a picture, real pictures of all the little guys who died there, and it shows a picture of Marcus Luttrell with his baby, and the baby is named after one of his friends who died up there, and I'll just leave it at maybe Christy wants to be the lone survivor, you know, but. It just doesn't seem like the way of honor and courage to say, I've been betrayed. I'm sad. I've been betrayed.
He looked like a ghost when he was in front of those microphones. And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, he did. I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I hope I'm wrong. But you know when you have kids, Tomas. You know when kids are telling you, but Daddy, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And then they give you a 2-hour explanation. You know they did it. You know what I mean?
The next thing he's going to tell us is he's gone on a diet. You know? Because
he had that operation, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's toast.
I don't know how fat I Why am I so fat? I've been betrayed. It could have been me. No. It was somebody fed me some food and that I trusted. And you know what? I've been betrayed. And I'm so sad and I'm so fat. It's not my fault. In other words, what he's saying is it's not my fault.
Yes. I know. It's not his fault. Give me a break.
That's not the way you lead. Anyway, listen, Lone Survivor, definite must-see with your friends. Definite must-see. You know what? I don't want to take any money away from the film, but this film will probably be better in a video, you know, when you get it home, because you'll be able to talk about it and think, because there's a lot of it in there. Anyway, thanks for the opportunity, Kate. God bless you and God bless America.
You too. Great review from Tomas. I always say that if you've got a movie review, let us hear it. You know, we do our cheap movie reviews, and this is a movie I'm dying to see. I just said last week there weren't any great movies out right now. He got a great sneak because Luttrell is, to emphasize this again, he was one of those Navy SEALs. He got the Navy Cross for what happened in 2005 when he faced down Taliban fighters on this, I'm going to call it a mountain, with three of his buddies, and what ensued was just a living hell. And he survived, and he survived also with the help of a goat herder who he is still friendly with. I cannot wait to see that movie. Stay with us. Dan Kish is next, talking energy and the big ripoff.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Our old pal Dan Kish is back with us from the Institute for Energy Research. He's the Senior VP of Policy, and it's perfect timing to have Dan back on to talk about some of the things that are happening this year. A whole bunch of regulations are about to kick in, and what kind of an impact are these regulations going to have on the energy industry and you? We've already talked about some of them in the first couple of days of the year. Dan, thanks for coming back on with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate.
And, you know, I've talked about these new regulations. There's a staggering amount, 141 plus, because it's a little bit more than that, that are going to have some sort of an impact on energy. I mean, is this, right from the get-go, is this way too many, the number, and is this too much government overreach?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, honestly, I remember during the government shutdown, the Wall Street Journal compared the number of regulations that were coming out. On one particular day, there were six, despite the government shutdown, and they compared that to a number as high as 400 that particular day. These regulations are really laws, Kate, and they're written by people who aren't elected by anybody, who interpret things based upon political calls of their, you know, of the people controlling Washington, the president's executive branch. And in this particular case, what we're seeing is a huge number of new regulations consistent with what the president said, which is that I'm going to go around Congress if they won't do what I want. And so they've, for example, they came out with a regulation yesterday that in essence bans the use of coal, which has supplied up to 50% of our electricity in this country, and of which we have the largest sources in the world, in new power plants for construction. They say that you can do it if you have some particular technology which has never been proven commercially. And there'll be a big fight over that, but that's what they're doing. And this year, they'll come out with a regulation affecting existing power plants that currently supply about 40%. They say we can easily replace it with other sources. Those sources houses and those plants are going to be mighty expensive, and they're going to make electricity prices necessarily skyrocket. So, you know, it's all part of this idea that we've got too much. We shouldn't be in control of our own thermostats. The government and big companies should do that for us because they're smarter than we are, obviously. And Washington certainly is smarter than us. So we'll tell you what kind of light bulb to use, what kind of toilet to use, what your temperature ought to be set at, how far you can drive, what means you can do. And it really is. It's getting a little scary.
Yeah, when you say it's getting a little scary, I think people don't realize you threw in the light bulb thing there at the end, and that's a great example, because with the death of the incandescent light bulb, you know, people are running to the stores that are realizing it and buying up the ones that they can, but they're not being manufactured anymore. And to add insult to injury, the fluorescent curlicue light bulbs that now you will be using in the future, theoretically, are made in China, so we're importing all of those light bulbs, and we're not even manufacturing them. So a lot of jobs were lost, more than people realize. So there's also the job loss factor too, as you mentioned with coal, and somehow that gets swept under the rug, but that's pretty important, don't you think?
I sure do. I mean, we've got the president going on TV every day talking about how we have to extend unemployment benefits for those people out of work, when his policies of bankrupting the coal industry and declaring war on certain sources of energy that we've got in abundance are leading to people getting thrown out of work. It's like one hand doesn't know what the left hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And that's kind of par for course when you're running things as though you're in the ivory tower of an academic institution instead of the real world, where people have to make choices for themselves. They make millions of choices, billions, trillions probably, among our population daily. And instead they want to substitute. Now, I'll give you a classic example. This isn't a new regulation. It came out at the end of the year, but it's typical. We had people working in the government, if you can believe this, Kate, to come up with a regulation of the Department of Energy that will tell manufacturers of microwaves how much electricity your microwave can consume when it is off. In other words, the little clock that blinks when the power goes off and you have to restart it. They now have standards. We live in a country, in a free country, in which the government imposes standards for how much that little blinking light can consume, and it's going to increase the price of those microwaves, and people are going to have to build new facilities to do that, as opposed to you and I going out and making a decision whether we want to spend a lot or a little on a microwave.
Wow. So who benefits from this? The few companies that provide it,
yeah,
right?
The few companies that make the that already have the technology paid for and can force this in, and they probably slip a little money Washington's way in order to do this. This is the unfortunate but true aspect of increasing government power. It's what our founders warned against. It's one of the reasons why they try to build fences around our government. And make us the masters of the government as opposed to the government the masters of us. And for some reason, the inmates are in charge of the asylum.
Yeah, because isn't it reverse? As you gave the great example, the idea is, listen, I'm for smaller government anyway, but I'm not saying just toss out the government completely. We talk about that on the show. But that's ridiculous, 141 regulations. But they're regulations that aren't helping consumers, aren't helping the people, as you mentioned, that the president is talking about, that he's trying to put back to work. Because what does that economically do to the middle class, to the people who, guess what, have to buy those expensive light bulbs? And all of the things that we're talking about, if we went through all the regulations, add up eventually to a whole bunch of money monthly if you were to sit down and make a budget. And I don't see what somebody's going to do other than sit in the dark, for example, and not use as much electricity. What can you do, Dan?
Well, I mean, obviously people can get educated about it, and that's why programs like your own are so important, Kate, and that people get educated about what's going on. It's not simply the light bulbs. It's not simply the microwaves. It's not simply the fact that our cars are getting more expensive because they're telling us what kind we ought to get. Because eventually, you know, the people making these regulations tend to be the elite. I mean, they make incomes. They live in urban areas where they don't need transportation as much, or they've got all kinds of subsidized opportunities to take public transportation. That doesn't exist in a huge amount of the country that they call flyover country. And they all think that people are rubes, in essence. And yet, these are the people they work for. And so what we've got is slowly but surely making energy, which has never been a luxury in this country, a luxury good. It's happening in other countries in Europe as well. They've got energy poverty over there now. They've actually coined the phrase, and it's going to happen more in this country. And then what happens when it gets cold? Some of the biggest advocates of yesterday, Senator Schumer, he's never supported an energy project, to my knowledge, in his entire history in the Congress, and is opposed to, you know, drilling offshore, drilling onshore, drilling in Alaska, you name it, calls for the government to subsidize more people's energy bills because it got cold. Well, you know, at some point the government giveth and taketh away, and we are, in essence, subjects rather than citizens. And it's very bothersome across the board when these decisions are permeating everything that affects Americans, and they all have a centralized goal of making those decisions in Washington and in the state capitals when people used to make these decisions for themselves.
Yeah, and, you know, the other parts, like, as we talk about this, it's the buzzwords, which I'm sure you probably have a list of them in your office. It's like talking about clean energy. And what's the deal with clean energy? I mean, is that in part, I think it's almost an umbrella scam because so much money gets dumped into those programs, and then the programs don't even succeed, and that money is thrown down what I call the proverbial rat hole. So we see a lot of that, too. It's cronyism in some senses, don't you think?
Of course. I mean, anytime decisions are... Listen, if you and I make a decision... you make a good decision and I make a bad decision. People can look at our decisions and say, well, Kate made a better decision. I think I'll follow her lead. When the government makes a decision for all of us and imposes it on us, and they seem to always pick the worst, they may benefit because the person receiving the benefit of that, of their decision, may make political contributions or be their friend or help them with some other quest they're for. But in essence, it hurts all of us and we all suffer. That's why 300 plus million people making their individual decisions, the collective thought is that the wise decisions will be shown to be the right ones and the poor decisions will die of their own, die of their own accord. And that's precisely what's going on. And then listen, Kate, if you want to take the power or if you want to take the money out of government, if you want to take the crony capitalism out of this stuff, the best way to do is take the power out of Washington and out of the government because it's that simple. It'll take on different faces depending on which party's in charge and all the rest. But ultimately, if you give more power to people in Washington who say they just want to protect you and help you and all the rest, they're in essence taking that decision making away from you and imposing their view of the world on you, and you live with the consequences. And you know the old story: you can't fight City Hall. Well, it doesn't look as though you can fight Washington very well either.
Boy, no kidding. Dan Kish, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
On this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So the big question is, will the bridge blow up, the revenge scandal, kill Chris Christie's political future? What do you think? Yes, no, who cares? I did get a couple of emails from people who said, who cares? You should care. The reason you should care is because this is a guy who was pretty close to being named as definitely, well, he definitely is on the short list for the Republicans for 2016. And whether you like him, you think he's a bully, you think he could never be president, whatever your thoughts are, there are plenty of people that were backing him. So now he has hit a snag. But can he undo himself for the snag, with the snag, or not? So we have that obviously woven throughout this show. But the other thing is the couple of other things, actually. And, you know, I can't stand almost to give any airtime amid Karzai. If you've listened to America Tonight at all, you know how I feel about him. Weak, the wrong person to be in charge in Afghanistan, rather. And making the situation that much more difficult as we go down this final road of 2014, when we're supposed to have the majority of our troops taken out ultimately in Afghanistan. I mean, how much more can we invest in this place? How much more can we put up with? But we're stuck. It's just like Iraq. We see that Iraq is exploding on all sides. And coming up in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk more specifically with some policymakers on what happened there and now what is happening in Afghanistan and what's the United States going to do at this point. Blood, sweat, tears, and lots of money invested in Iraq and then Afghanistan. And what are we walking away with? So here's the thing with what we're seeing in Afghanistan. The fact that Karzai's not getting off the dime, has not signed the agreement, and we are already into the beginning of a very important year. And trust me, if he doesn't sign it, I think he dangles it until the end of 2014 and keeps us kind of in limbo, the United States in limbo, as to is he going to sign it? Is he not going to sign it? Truly what I think he wants is the president to come to Afghanistan. That's what I think. He wants him to go to Afghanistan. And, you know, it's interesting because the former defense secretary, Robert Gates, has this tell-all book that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, some of it is leaked out on purpose. And in the book, he really goes after Obama for the way he handled the war in Afghanistan. And, of course, he was the defense secretary, so is there a better view of what happened there? Partly in the book, apparently, there's some private conversations between the president and the defense secretary that are going to be revealed. And you think of what happens in the Beltway when somebody leaves office and they're privy to some incredible knowledge. And when do they cross that line of, okay, I really hated working for this administration. I couldn't stand it. I finally had enough and I had a bolt. And now I've been encouraged to write a book. I'm writing a book and I'm going to tell everybody what they wanted to know about this situation with Obama and his people and what I went through as far as a war strategy was concerned, when I had a seat at the big boy table. And his book is called Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War. And he accuses the president of ordering a troop buildup in Afghanistan, even though he really didn't believe in the policy. And he also says that Hillary Clinton confided that she had opposed Bush's surge in Iraq for political reasons because of the presidential campaign. Oh, my. And I think there's a few other little nuggets in there, too, as well. So while this comes out, I mean, in the end, because after saying a few brutal things, he has to sort of reel it back in. And he then at the end says, you know, it's like that, double-handed compliment. You know what I mean? When somebody says one thing and they really mean another. So then at the end, he says that the president got all the decisions right on Afghanistan, and he actually praised his courage on the Afghan surge because of all the opposition. And then he credited him with approving the mission to take out bin Laden, even though Gates says he was opposed to it. So this is, I think, the typical thing that happens when you write one of these books. And trust me, the Sunday pundits are going to have a field day with this. That's all you're going to see on NBC, on Fox, on CBS, and all the Sunday morning shows. He's cashing in. He's cashing in on a government gig. But I love the fact that he says there was doubt. In the end, he pulls it back in, but he says there was doubt about the strategy. And he talks about some of the things that made it tough to run defense policy and how challenging it is for the military. I think the most challenging thing is what Tomas pointed out, if you heard his call, when he was giving his critique of Lone Survivor, the Marcus Luttrell story, and what happened there. and we have spent a ton of time on it here on America Tonight, is the bloody rules of engagement. I mean, you put people in these precarious situations, and they're soldiers, but you expect them to not, it's like you're tying their hands, and they're not allowed to react when this war is a much different kind of war that we're fighting in the last decade and a half, where you have people who are rigged with bombs that want to blow you up, or all those explosive devices that are planted that you run over, and the next thing you know, the people sitting next to you are dead in a tank. And I think it was very tough on the people who fought it on the front lines. And that's why the end of this is so infuriating with Karzai. He has his hand out, he wants the money, and he wants to continue to deal with the United States because of that. He wants the help, but then he, at the same time, it's again that same thing, the negative thing. He wants to boot us out because he's saddling up to the Taliban. So what sense did that make if things were to be turned around in Afghanistan, if it goes right back to what it was before, which I guarantee you this is exactly what we'll see, what we're already starting to see in Iraq, or we're going to see in Afghanistan as well. And then you think of the trillions of dollars that were spent and the people who lost their lives, and you ask yourself, well, really, is this the spread of democracy? Are these free elections? What was the point? What was the point? In the future, when it comes to foreign policy, there has to be some sort of a massive decision made on what is it we're trying to be? What are we trying to do when we intervene, when we cherry pick and intervene in some situations and then stay completely out of other situations where there's massive genocide going on? It's like Syria. I mean, sorry, Syria. We screwed up with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. We were way too invested in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we got nothing left in the tank. We'll try to do what we can to help you. But we're not going in to save people. We're not toppling Assad. We're going to trust him. He's our friend. And we're going to, well, he was our friend. And we're going to figure out a way to keep this away from our plate. We don't want to have to deal with this too. So it's just kind of luck of the draw. And I think based on what some of the people have seen in Syria, in Afghanistan, and in Iraq, they thought that they were going to get saved. They thought that the army was going to roll in there too as well. And speaking of Assad, Russia blocked the anti-Assad UN resolution with our Secretary of State, John Kerry, going to the summit. It just gets more and more interesting, doesn't it? If you want to get in touch with the show, you know the best way to do that? AmericaTonight.net. You can hook up on Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email. Just click on contact and bada bing, you're in.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.